At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Always follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The show is brought to you by DraftKings. We are live, as always, in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. We just chatted with Sal Palantonio from ESPN. A-plus performance out of him. If you missed that, you can go back and listen. Wherever you get your podcasts, all you have to do is search Follow the Money, and tomorrow is draft day. We have our in-pocket bets coming up in about 15 minutes. As for tonight, the NBA and the NHL, the Celtics and Heat are playing in game two of their series. This total now hovering around 202.5. Regular season totals this year, 217.5. Final score, 119-111. 225 in their second game, 143-110. 225 in their third game, that stayed under 110-106. Game one in this series was 210, stayed under 114-94. So they were playing with regular season totals between 217.5 and 225. Two of those went way over. And now we're down, if you go peak, we're down 23 points here. 22.5 points, depending on where you're looking at with the book.
Mm-hmm.
Is that too big, way too big of an adjustment?
Yes. Well, and I know much has been made. Well, not enough has been made of how they completely changed how they're officiating games since the All-Star break. But this is, number one, it should be a blowout. Game one, they led by 32. So you're not going to have a lot of intensity, and you're just going to have guys out there willy-nilly and playing in a blowout, and just you're not going to see much defense. The other thing is, it's just going to be bombs away. They shot 33s in the first half of game one, Celtics alone. So Spoelstra going to zone at them, and the Celtics, remember, they were up 32, so they took it easy. They took 49 threes in game one, but 30 at half, and knocked down 22 of them. So as well as Hauser came in and played well, Pritchard gave you 8 points, but there's so many guys that can shoot threes. And if you're daring them to shoot and play in that zone because you're overmatched and undermanned, I think it's outrageous with the total. And it's just going to lead to no intensity and regular season basketball with a team that's up 30 and coasting and just ready to put this team away and blow them out, and we go on to game three.
So Pritchard tonight, if it is a blowout, then obviously a guy like Pritchard, someone like Hauser, they're going to get a lot of run in the spot. Pritchard is 7.5. Minus 112 to the over. Is that short enough of a number to think he's going to get enough shots, enough playing time here tonight that he'll...
I think he should. Yeah, he got 24 minutes in game one.
He's going to have a strong opportunity to get at least 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
Yep, and the other thing is you want to look at stuff from Miami because you know, I mean, how Hero took 27 shots in that play-in game. That was with Butler, which was outrageous.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe Butler played three quarters with that injury, by the way. But he's going to take a ton of shots, And Hawkes is so good. I can't believe he's not a Laker. They had him in, he was playing down the street for years, and the Lakers didn't take him. But that's another guy who's aggressive going to the basket, and he's going to get, I think, a ton of looks and points too.
So his point prop tonight is 14.5. I want to say, no, I was kind of traveling over the weekend. I did pay attention. I think, was it not 10.5 in game one for Hawkes?
Sounds right.
I believe that was the number. He's got to be one of their go-to guys right now, right, on offense because of no Butler.
Yeah,
and now
very good player.
They bumped it up that much, you know, a strong 4 points, I believe, from 10.5 to the current number right now, 14.5 minus 112, the way it looks to the over at DraftKings.
Last five games, 16, 21, 15, 18, and 20 points.
He's very skilled.
Mm-hmm.
Really polished.
Yeah,
I mean, spent a lot of time at UCLA, was a go-to player for many years with that, and he came in and he shined as a rookie. Yeah, I think in other years, without Wembanyama and Holmgren, he would have had a really good chance to win Rookie of the Year.
And I like the bet that Will Hill gave out on air yesterday, Celtics at DraftKings to sweep, only $1.55. I mean, they're going to win tonight. They're a 15-point favorite. And then there'll be not only will there be big favorites on the road in Miami, but there'll be a lot of Celtic fans there, or at least a good amount, and there'll be no atmosphere because those fans are front runners.
Yeah.
And they're not going to show up knowing they're going to get their butts kicked. So much was made about the lack of all the empty seats and what happened when they played the Bulls. If they're down 2-0 and they get beat by 30 tonight, there's going to be no one there. And it's going to be, you know, some Celtic fans making the trip too. So I like that bet too, that what he gave out, $1.50 to sweep. Which, yeah, don't screw around. Don't play with your food. On to the next round. Let's go. And you're talking about the number one offense in NBA history based on the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
We both like OKC tonight.
Yep.
Pelicans. We like New Orleans plus the points in OKC is what I meant to say. I think this is going to be a really, really good series.
Now, I see people on both sides of this. I see people saying, well, this is going to be a tough series. This could go 6. This could go 7 because of the inexperience and the young team and what OKC has. But other people are saying, no, it's over in 5.
That's why I've heard that too.
I'm in more in that camp. I thought they were terrible in game one, but still won. So I think now it's going to be, okay, we got a game under our belt. We had the nerves. We're good. I think Dagnall played too many guys. You got to shorten your rotation now with the playoffs, but he's learning too, even though he's going to win Coach of the Year Sunday. But I think now that with no Zion, and I think now the Thunder can come out, relax, and they could take them out in 5. Without Zion's big.
I will say this. Yeah, it could be a 5-game series, but the point spread is the great equalizer.
Yeah.
And I think this is too many points. I think we're going to get a lot of games like we saw in game one. A sweep can still be a really good series if they're strong games and they're close. Herb Jones is so good defensively, and they have so much length and so much speed and talent on that team that it's going to be difficult. I don't think this is going to be a... I think Shea deserved really a piece of the MVP this year with what he meant to this team overall, the number one seed. And plus, as David Thorpe told us 2 weeks ago, the numbers don't lie. The on and off the court numbers, the plus minus, the estimated stuff, he's number one in the league with a lot of the key metrics. And that's why Shea was going to be his MVP. He doesn't have a vote, but he broke it down beautifully on this show. I think he's going to have a tough series here against Herb Jones is elite defensively. So I know that they have to have others step up with no Zion, but I trust a guy like Murphy. And as I said earlier, I think Valanciunas is going to have good games throughout the series.
Well, Murphy was great. But the other thing is, I don't know what I'm going to get out of McCollum. He's been hit or miss. But Greg Anthony made a great point on the broadcast at game one. I think it was Greg Anthony. Ingram has like 6 inches on Dort. But Ingram still isn't himself coming back from injury. He got benched in the Laker game.
He did.
In the fourth quarter. And then he was 5 of 17 and playing 37 minutes in game one. So he's not himself. But that's your key to this series. If the Pelicans can keep it close and extend it, it's going to be Ingram. Because he's so good and you get to the basket. And then the length that he has in the reach, just be able to just post up Dort and do whatever he wants. But if you go 5 of 17, it's not going to matter.
No.
But he's got to get back to being the Ingram we saw that's such a good player and work out the rust in what he's been dealing with coming back from injury.
What do you think this number is when they go back to New Orleans? If it's a close game tonight, Pelicans cover.
Wow, the two?
Based
OKC
on...
OKC too, right?
Yeah, OKC will be a small favorite in the game.
I do think the adjusted series price is out of whack, though. They're 1,200. I mean, they won game one by 2 points.
Oh, sure.
1,200, it's just... But there's a lot of people on both sides of the OKC thing, too. They're not a good one seed. They're overrated. They're going out early. I think, and I'm more with Windhorst, that you have to show them a lot of respect, and this team could make the conference finals.
Yeah.
They have so much talent.
Yeah, and then we have NHL games tonight as well. We have three of them. We have a couple of really big dogs. The Kings are a big dog against the Oilers on the road, obviously. That was 7-4 the first time they played. And the Golden Knights are a big dog as well in Dallas. We'll have I have a bet on this coming up in pocket, coming up in about 6-7 minutes here on the show. But they won game one. They're 4-0 against them on the season.
Yep.
They are the defending champs. They got them early with a couple of goals there.
Well, the power play. They got some power. I mean, every year the power play stinks.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, what happens if they get that going? Which caused for, I don't like how Ottinger's playing down the stretch. He looked shaky in game one, and it's being priced like it's a must win, which it is, but that must win doesn't mean must bet. I think it's too high. Absolutely. And you're not showing the champs enough respect. Oilers, I don't want to hear it. Oilers got to win this game. You're better than the Kings. Talbot, the question marks in goal. You ran him out, no problem. McJesus had 5 assists. I don't want to hear it. Take him out. I mean, that was jumped on him early. Beautiful. The building's rocking. Don't screw around this series. Okay? Get it done. And then the Bruins and Leafs, I have no idea. What's going on with Nylander? Should be a change in goal with Swayman. This is a tough series. I think the other three should be, should be chalky. 2-0 Rangers. 2-0 Carolina, completely outmatched. Rangers and the Capitals, and it looks like Florida's going to take out Tampa. This is the one that could go 7. And it was a great bounce back by Toronto to even the series. But I don't know what I'm going to get out of Samsonov and the defense. It's night to night, game to game. You never know. They give up 7, they give up 2. You give up 6, you give up 2, right?
Shots on goal. Austin Matthews, 4.5. Over is minus 160.
What's he to score a goal?
Minus 155.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, I would not bet that.
Oh, wow.
That's getting way out of range, in my opinion. You want to lay $1.55?
No.
No. That's too high.
Yep. But then this is also what we've talked about for many years on this show, that it is the corporate spectacle. You know, it's a stuffy crowd in Toronto, and the hardcore fan is priced out. So it's not your typical playoff crowd, and let's get it right. It's not like a Winnipeg or a Vancouver. It's a different crowd and how expensive that ticket is.
I must say that watching the crowds, specifically up in Canada.
Oh, the whiteout's so good.
It's the Winnipeg last night despite losing.
Yep.
Vancouver the other night. Yep. Certainly here in Toronto. I absolutely love it. Can't get it. I wish they had like a split screen or the option to have like a split screen the entire time during these games.
Outside's even better.
Oh, of course. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
no doubt.
So we'll run down our best bets for tonight with In Pocket Plays coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel.
Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it, take it, take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day. No way. I'll give you 3 to 1 odds. Nope. 5 to 1. Nope. 10 to 1. You're
right. All right. It's been a good run, but a losing night last night with some bad luck. This hadn't happened in a while. It was unfortunate, but Peterborough United, Cheltenham Town, League 1 over 2.5. 2-0. 20 minutes in. That was the final score. And Peterborough United, in a game they had to have, got shut out. That one stung. Suns plus 3, blown out. And you only get 12 points from Towns and Ants 3 of 12. Imagine the Suns go all in and get swept or losing 5 in the first round. That's in play. Minnesota's suffocating defense. McDaniels had 25. And again, worst fourth quarter team in the league. Mavs money line winner. Kawhi comes back. Line moved big time. But Luka was great, and the Mavs were great down the stretch, and they get the win. All the new stuff.
I brought this up yesterday. The example of, I hate the term big three in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's just that should have died after the Miami Heat with Wade, Bosh, and LeBron James. It's so stupid, in my opinion. So when Grayson Allen goes down, he's not part of their
huge,
big three.
Huge injury.
Where's the depth? They have three guys, basically, and I can't count on Bradley Beal as far as you can throw him. Meanwhile, the Wolves. McDaniels, 25 last night. Towns can go for 20 any night. Edwards can go for 30 any night. Gobert was solid again last night. Conley scored 18. Alexander Walker off the bench was fantastic. Naz Reid is the seventh guy I just mentioned. He might win Sixth Man of the Year tonight. They are loaded with depth. The exact opposite of that stupid phrase, big three.
Yep. And it's even a good thing that Towns was in foul trouble.
Yeah.
Because, they had all their issues in the regular season with playing the bigs. And, again, Towns continues to commit silly fouls. To all the new stuff. There's a lot of it. My favorite play is Thursday. Carolina against the Islanders. Now, if you don't want to lay the $1.60, you can go to win in regulation. Forget about the score. It was 3-1 Islanders. It was a fluke. Anderson gave up a soft goal, and some strange stuff happened. Number one, how do the Islanders respond after blowing that three-goal lead, though, and then up 3-1 with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left? That's number one. I think they're demoralized. But here's the big one. In that Game 2 comeback, shot attempts, 110 to 28. The Islanders didn't have a shot on goal in the first 12 minutes of the game and had one shot on goal in the third period. It's a total mismatch. Carolina sweeps them, and obviously they get it done Thursday in Game 3. I also, with how good Carolina's looked, am a little concerned with the Rangers and the President's Trophy jinx. Going back since 05-06, only three teams that had the best record in the league have made the Cup. I'll take the Hurricanes to win the Eastern Conference, and this is a big blow. Oh, boy, I feel terrible for the people of Vancouver. You lose Demko, and not only that, he's questionable to return for the series. Everything's changed now. Predators game 3, $1.30, in a tough and raucous environment, and the Predators to win the series. And I don't know what's going on with Hellebuck. You have a hot goalie, anything can happen. But also,
the Colorado. I mean, they're so...
Sure, no doubt about it. But there's something off with this guy. And he was lackadaisical and some weird plays. Almost gave up an easy one where he was out of the net and then got caught and turned it over trying to play the puck behind his own goal and gave one up. And then just like lollygagging, like loosey-goosey with his stick, not even trying to save it. He's 1-5 in his last 6 playoff games with the goals against of almost 5. Colorado to win the series. And I'm with Julian Edlow on this. Pick your spots. I know it was awesome for years, and it's come back, though, the last couple years, but it's also due in part to a lot of bad matchups where you wanted nothing to do with the home team down 0-2. But this is a home team I like, down 0-2 with the season on the line. Sixers first half in game Thursday against the Knicks. And I think the Lightning show up and save their season game three against the Panthers. But if Bobrovsky plays like this, whoa, forget about it. What a game that was and a performance out of him.
So you're pretty much betting the entire board.
Oh, no, coming up. A lot of this is Thursday.
No, I like it, though.
Yeah, and then tonight we're on the Pelicans. I'm on the Pelicans plus 7.5. I really respect OKC, but I think it's too many points, and I think there's still a lot, though, with inexperience and not being in these games yet, in these big-time games.
The board is popping to you.
Yeah.
Today and beyond.
Yeah. All right. Well, things have also changed with injuries and shaky goaltending, too, which is going to happen.
Winner last night, NHL. I had no inside knowledge about Demko when I made this bet. But that moved severely after that news came out yesterday. And at the time of the show, grabbed the Predators plus 140 to get the win last night in Vancouver. They did. I'm with you. I like them to win the series now as well.
Oh, it stinks. God.
Tonight, this number is just... That's all I'm doing here. I can't... This plus 150 on the Golden Knights. They might lose 7-0. Don't care. Plus 150. Have to take it. They were really good in game one. How about the way Mark Stone looked, by the way?
Boot every time he touched the puck. People are really ticked off about this outside of this market. About...
Well, the lacerated spleen?
Yeah. Well, the fact that you can hide him and then bring people in and...
Sure.
He comes back, but I understand. Yeah, I mean, I'm with the GM there. Google lacerated spleen. But, of course, Stone comes back and scores right away.
So I have to bet them tonight. And I'm doing this. I bet it, so here you go. Cowboys, first pick in the draft. Wide receivers, 11-1. It's Jerry Jones. Everybody in the world is saying offensive line. Sal Palantonio said maybe. But a guy like Xavier Worthy, there are... Basically, a couple of people in the draft, like Al Davis all the time, the Raiders would fall for speed. Loved it. The one year that you had Henry Ruggs, first receiver, right? Mm-hmm. You bet that.
Yeah.
And he was the first guy off the board. Raiders took him. Loved the speed. I think the Cowboys fall into this as well. It could be Worthy. It could be another player. They could trade down a little bit if they wanted to acquire more picks. As he said, they were very conservative in the offseason. Maybe they do that and acquire more picks. Wide receivers will be there for the taking. This guy is infatuated with skilled players. He wants a sexy offense. Wide receiver, the pick for me, 11-1, Cowboys first pick in the draft. And I also added, I don't know if Luke got this in time or not. I'm going Chet Holmgren plus 120 with a double-double tonight. I want to bet Valanciunas, but the best number is see you later. It's gone.
Stop with the threes. Get down low. Yes, it's enough already. Taking way too many threes.
I think he's going to be in position to get plenty of rebounds, though. Because, again, no help with to help out with Valanciunas down low. He's going to play a lot of minutes. I think this is going to be a defensive-minded series. A lot of missed shots. He'll have his chances at rebounds and to score 10-plus, sure. And I like the Pelicans in the game plus 7.5 as well.
Don't miss out on any of the action on DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Through the finals, DraftKings has you covered. Same-game parlays, live betting odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code VSiN. New customers bet $5, get 200 in bonus bets instantly. Code VSiN only on DraftKings. Crown is yours. Great job, guys. So I bet under 5.5 with McCarthy. I had to. Sal Pal was so good, and the information he gave us. You're not going to get there?
I'm not betting it.
Why not?
I think there's a scenario where we get no trades.
Really?
Yep. Yep. In the top five. So I think at that point it could go. Obviously,
chances Minnesota can get McCarthy just staying at 11.
Yes, I think that can happen.
Okay.
I think that can happen.
And then you also, Atlanta will play ball. You can move up to
eight. If they really wanted to do that, yeah.
Sal was strong. Sal was making the case 5 quarterbacks, top 12.
I know. Well, he was very strong in the Giants, though, which could change my tune a little bit.
Right, right. He's right up. I mean, I totally agree. Daniel Jones will be gone after this year. That's it.
And that's his point was, well, I mean, come on. It's going to be their... It's year number 100 next year for the Giants in the history of this league, right? They're a total blue blood. And I can see how that would be important to the people in charge of the organization. Who is the face at quarterback? It's not going to be Daniel Jones. So do they want it to be a rookie in 2025, or do they want a kid that they can establish, get him now, and then he's going to be the guy in 2025 and beyond? So that angle does make some sense to me. But I'm buying into these stories that have been written and about the GMs for the Patriots and the Chargers saying these, so far the packages offered are laughable. Yeah, so if the Patriots stay put at 3, Chargers stay put at 5?
I loved his answer and breakdown, though, Harbaugh and O'Connell. That he loves McCarthy and wants him to go to a good team and an offensive-minded coach. And
the Giants could
help you out.
That's the scenario where I think it kills me, where the Giants trade up to number 4 with the Cardinals. Because, you know, if Harrison is off the board, if the Patriots take Harrison number 3, which I would say don't rule that out.
Right.
The Cardinals are going to say, okay, now what do we do? Do we really want Neighbors? Or are we going to, like, take a king's ransom for someone who wants to get either Drake May or J.J. McCarthy now? And I could see that team playing ball, Giants going up and then getting their quarterback. Femi Abebefe is going to join the program coming up next. VSiN host also does the GM Shuffle podcast with Michael Lombardi. How many trades does he anticipate for the top 5 and the top 10? How many quarterbacks going in the first round? We'll ask him coming up here on VSiN.
We are ready to go and have you covered tomorrow, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. Tim Murray, JVT, and the Golics go through all the prospects and predictions and props. Then a special edition of the GM Shuffle, 8 p.m. Eastern. Femi, Michael Lombardi, real-time analysis of the picks. Michael will give you his thoughts on every pick and trade as they happen. Special edition of the GM Shuffle on VSiN, DraftKings Network, or on VSiN's YouTube page. Cap off the night, 11 p.m. Eastern, with VSiN Tonight. And check it out. You got to read Matt Heumann's mock as well, especially before you make bets. VSiN.com/draft.
Femi Abebefe joins the program now. VSiN host also does the GM Shuffle podcast that you can get wherever you listen to your podcast with Michael Lombardi. Heavy draft. Obviously, you guys are going to record that podcast after the show. First of all, good to see you. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well. Yeah. And in today's VSiN newsletter, Bill 80 wrote that Lombardi is saying, a lot of names thrown around here, I apologize. But the newsletter points out that Lombardi said 6 quarterbacks going in the first round. I don't know if I can see that happening.
Sal loves it.
Yeah, I know Sal loves it. Others do too. Are we going to get 6?
I don't think we're going to get it. Initially, I felt good about 5, and I don't even know if I feel good about that anymore. I think we're going to get 4 for sure in there. But we were talking about it before we came on here, is that fifth-year option is not as appealing as it was back in 2011, 2012. It's a little bit more expensive now. So I think teams would have to be really, really in love with a guy to take them. You're not going to see the trade back into the first round to go ahead and draft Lamar Jackson at 32nd overall. I don't think you're going to really see that. So unless these teams are in love with Bo Nix or Michael Penix, I don't really see it. And I think a lot of the things that we're finding out, too, is that sometimes with this tying Bo Nix to the Broncos or Penix to another team, it's they could love them for the second round. It doesn't have to be the first round that they take them. Now, maybe if they think that other teams are going to go ahead and jump ahead of them, but my guess is I think we see 4 tomorrow night.
And I do think where those two teams are sitting, assuming the Vikings address their quarterback position, either at number 11 or they trade up, so then we're talking about the Broncos at 12, Raiders at 13. Man, that's so high for Nix. Yeah. For me, Nix, no chance. I love Penix, but also I get the age and I get the injury concerns.
Yeah, I mean, I read the Adam Schefter mailbag piece that he had all the draft intel. He said that he could go as high as 8 to the Falcons, is what one general manager told him. And I know the Falcons probably want to have a plan for after Kirk Cousins, but they signed him to do a big deal this offseason. That just seems pretty crazy to me that Penix would go that high. And I'm speaking of as a Washington Husky fan. Like, I love Michael Penix. Watching the last couple of years, he was terrific in Seattle. But I just don't see it with the age and the injury history that you mentioned there. Like, yes, he's really good, and he might have a really good career, but I don't think the risk is worth the reward for taking him that high.
Yeah, that's not getting enough attention. All the talk about the Arizona and the Chargers. Atlanta's open for business, too, at 8.
Yeah.
So that's something where maybe Minnesota just comes up, and they can go to 8 and get him, getting a quarterback, what they decide to do.
What's interesting with Minnesota is that which quarterback do they desire? Because that's what I can't figure out, because they made that trade to get the 23rd overall pick. So now they have 2 first-round picks. And it's like, okay, well, number 1's going to be Caleb Williams. But they don't really know who's going to be there at 2, at 3. Do they move up to 4? Do they really want to move up all those pieces for the 4th quarterback in the draft? Even though that they really want a quarterback, because they're not going to go into the season with just Sam Darnold in their quarterback room. My guess is that they try to get up to 3, but we were talking about it earlier. if New England likes the guy there at three, do they just take the quarterback? And then Minnesota's kind of shut out, and then they have to kind of figure out what they're going to do with those two first-round picks. So they have all that ammo, but there might not be someone that they desire once the board actually shakes out.
Well, a question for you, and also all your time working with Lombardi, and then I guess I don't want you to speak for him, but listening to the podcast, what he thinks, because it's Lions season.
Yep.
Going back to, we use the Thibodeau example. Lions tell him, we're taking you. They don't. What the Raiders did with Matt Leinart, he was pissed. If you're there, we'll take you. They don't. And now I have a good source that McCarthy's dad is very confident that he's going to be a Viking too, and the Vikings want him in the worst way. But that, I mean, how much – you saw what happened a couple years ago with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
They used prominent media members about this, oh, we're taking offensive line right away, and they didn't. And they flat out used it as a lie and used the media like that.
Yeah, we see the New York Giants ever since they got Joe Shane. They've been using the media quite a bit, kind of doing all that smokescreen stuff. I mean, the Vikings, they had J.J. McCarthy for a dinner. They had the visit going on. So there's clearly some interest there. But I don't know how much you can read into, hey, we're going to take you for sure, like you mentioned. It just seems like there's just so much that can happen in this draft. And, I mean, we don't even, like, we're talking about all these guys and all these scenarios. We don't know what's happening at two. Like, you think about that. Like, look at the draft markets right now. Daniels is minus 475. And, like, instinctively, you would think, okay, that must be Daniels to two. But usually, it's minus 4,000. If it's going to be a for sure thing. Like, if Daniels doesn't go two, what then happens there? Does New England like Daniels? Do the Vikings move up for Daniels? Like we don't know what's going to happen just based on the Commanders aren't really saying anything. So the draft really is a big mystery, as we always say.
Remember what happened last year on draft day, like an hour or so before the event started. That's when number two was still unknown.
Yep.
I was holding tickets on everybody not named C.J. Stroud.
Oh, yeah.
So I had big tickets on guys like Will Anderson and some others.
The Reddit thing, you're going? Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, here we are on draft day. C.J. Stroud is minus 1,000, minus 2. I couldn't refresh it fast enough because his eyes just... And that told you he was going number two overall.
Well, I thought you were going with the Reddit thing.
I wasn't even talking, but that's another part.
Could that happen again? Hey, some guy just put it out there. When I talked to a family member, and he said he's going...
Whatever.
Whatever, number, right.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, which is the thing with last year with Houston, is that the information was right. We just didn't know what the order of the operation was because everybody thought Anderson.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, they really love Anderson. Well, they did. They moved up to three to get him, but they also like C.J. Stroud a lot going in at number two. So I don't know. It's interesting. I talked about this with Lombardi in our last podcast on the GM Shuffle. He talked about how I think the league is cracking down on information getting out there, which is one of the reasons why I've been treading cautiously with betting the draft this year. Like a few years ago, I was all in it, waist deep, betting, firing as much as I could. But now the information is just so sparse and it's flimsy at best. You don't really know what's going on to where, I mean, if you're out there and you haven't made any wagers, like wager like carefully and maybe wait for more concrete stuff to come out here. Because I think there's a domino effect at two that if something doesn't go as expected, the whole thing can spiral out of control.
Femi, I think you're spot on. Nobody knows anything. I mean, when you're sitting here, again, 30 hours before the draft, and J.J. McCarthy could go anywhere from 2 to 6, he could go 8th, he could go 11th. It's just like, come on, enough already. But that's what the reporting has been like.
He could go in the 20s. Are we sure that J.J. McCarthy isn't this year's Will Levis? To where, I mean,
would that be something?
I mean, we all sat here last year, like Levis could go, oh, he's going to go to the Colts at four. That's the floor for him.
Yes.
And he goes the first pick of the second day.
Yeah.
Like we don't know. Because you talk to everybody who evaluates quarterbacks, they say, well, yeah, I mean, McCarthy, he has some things, but I don't really love him. So if nobody really loves him, why is he going so high? Is the thing, and it's the same thing with Levis last year. Like with Lombardi, I talked to him about it with Levis last year. He said, I think Levis is like a backup quarterback. I don't know why, but teams might like him. Who knows? Maybe he goes high. And then the league kind of shared his opinion of, this guy is not a first round caliber quarterback. So I'm not to say that McCarthy is going to be bad or he's going to go in the second round, but it's just so much uncertainty just based on he's being projected high, but nobody really sees him as that kind of a guy.
So I'm guessing then you have not bet his draft position prop of 5.5.
No, I have not. If I did bet it, I honestly would lean toward the over at the plus money.
You would? Man, Sal Palantonio came on an hour ago, and he thinks there are so many, but we hear this every year, right? The same thing. The Levis is a great example. So many teams are in a desperate spot for a quarterback, and he brought up the Giants. The Giants absolutely want to go into next year with the face of their franchise being the quarterback. They know who's going to be the future. And if Meg would happen to go third overall, then he thinks they're going to trade up to number four and take McCarthy there.
Whew. I feel like if they can't get May at third, then I think they're just going to go ahead and take a receiver. I think. So, like, I get that they've done the work, but I don't know if it's going to be McCarthy moving up to number four to draft that guy. Because, like, why would you even need to move up to four? I mean, unless you need to move up ahead of the Minnesota Vikings if you're scared that they might move up. If you play it out, like, if it goes 1-2-3 of Williams, Daniels, and May at four, then we're sitting with the Arizona Cardinals, who I'm sure they want to get out of that spot. I mean, Monty Austin Ford is trying to, like, he's not going to do any deals until they're actually on the clock, but they would like to acquire more picks. But if they end up sticking and picking like a Harrison or a Neighbors at five, the Chargers, I mean, and you have McCarthy right there, they're not going to draft him. At least I don't think they are, even though Harbaugh speaks highly of him. If they move out, then at five, anybody could, like, it could be an offensive tackle. It could be anyone. I don't know if McCarthy really has as many landing spots in the top five as people think. So I'd just be a little bit skeptical that he goes that high.
Well, I'm confident Daniels goes too, but I don't think it's.
Have you bet it?
Yes. I also think that all hell breaks loose, though, if New England takes Harrison at three.
Oh,
that, then it's chaos.
Yeah.
Then you're going to see a ton of trades, and then it's really on.
Yeah, because I think May would be someone that the league would covet just because of the size and all that stuff. And, like, he was projected to go pretty high before the college football season even started, and he seems to be more of the prototypical, like, athletic quarterback that teams like now. So I could see teams like the Vikings definitely trying to move up for Drake May. I'm just skeptical of this McCarthy thing. Like, I think, like, we all are not, like, in love with him, so I think that the logic will eventually win out to where maybe he goes top 10, but I don't see it in the top five.
There's a scenario here where the Cardinals can move out of four and still get Harrison around six. Like, that could happen if, in fact, the Patriots take May, and then at number four, somebody is so desperate for McCarthy, they trade up. Chargers could stand pat, take offensive line, and then Harrison could be sitting there at number six.
Is Harrison even the first receiver selected?
What if, you know, how about
now that? I have that.
How about
I have that? I got Neighbors.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
So what if that happens and the Cardinals say, screw everybody, we're taking Neighbors, and at seven, Harrison's still on the board?
Tennessee Titans want an offensive lineman. I don't know if they take him.
Yeah, right. We'll continue here with Femi Abebefe, VSiN host, talking NFL draft. We some very creative props on Caleb Williams for the draft tomorrow night. We'll run those down for you coming up here on VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Lombardi, along with Sal Pell, thinks six quarterbacks go in the first round. Check everything out at VSiN.com. Matt Heumann's mock, best bets, betting splits, betting tools and betting guides, everything you want, and all the playoff games and previews. Check it out, VSiN.com today.
We continue talking NFL draft. VSiN host Femi Abebefe in studio. He's recording a new edition of the GM Shuffle podcast with Michael Lombardi. When this show is done, where does Brock Bowers go? The juice on his prop here at Circa has really changed. I bet a bad number over 11.5 at like -150. That's now completely flipped. He's +105 to go over 11.5.
Outrageous.
Man. I don't see the Jets drafting him. I'll just say that. Like, I don't think it's – because I think initially that was sort of the groupthink consensus. Was, oh, Bowers at 10 to the Jets since they've shored up the offensive line in free agency. Let's get Aaron Rodgers another target. But I still think that they need to address that offensive line just given the fact that some older players like a Tyron Smith who you can't really count on him to be healthy. And maybe it's one of these teams that trades down that selects a Brock Bowers, whether if it's an Arizona Cardinals or if it's a Los Angeles Chargers. But
Colts, 15.
I mean, Colts at 15, that could be a really good option for them.
Yeah, this is crazy.
To me, it feels like he's in the teens.
If I'm the Jets, the pick's in, I take him. But look how things have changed. You go back to when he was at Georgia, all the talk was, oh, he's unbelievable. Top three pick. Maybe you got to take this guy. He's going to be a game changer. And now maybe he goes 15 tomorrow? I think people are losing it. I think he's going to be a great pro.
It's the position. And I think maybe people could be scared of the whole Kyle Pitts thing. Now, they're different players. Bowers is a different player than Kyle Pitts was. But, I mean, Pitts went fourth overall, and we're still waiting for him to catch touchdowns. I mean, maybe
that could have
been the quarterback situation.
Well,
but
yeah,
there's so much that you need to have a tight end to have success. Do you really want to take it that high when this position relies on so many other guys?
Well, yeah, I'll protect the quarterback. I also have to scheme stuff with Hackett, which is a problem.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna have Bowers, Williams, Wilson, Hall, and Rodgers. I think I'm going to take my chances and be able to figure it out.
I'll give you another one here that bettors think they know the outcome already, as if the first round has already been completed. The juice now on the wide receivers in the first round, it keeps moving towards the under. It's sitting at minus 450, under 6.5.
Whew, man.
The more and more trusted mocks come out, I mean, we could get 5, according to what people have been mocking lately.
Wow. I mean, with the amount of offensive line love in this draft, because like if you talk to anybody, they'll say that this is one of the best O-line drafts they've seen in recent memory. I could see teams going ahead and drafting these O-line, especially some of those teams picking a little bit later on. Hey, let's shore up the offensive line. Every team in the league probably needs offensive line help. It's like the most important position group, and it's a position group that has a lot of injuries. So I could see these O-linemen going pretty high, and that maybe pushes down some of these receivers. Also, the perception is that there's so many good receivers that maybe you can get one on Friday.
Yeah.
You can maybe get one in the fourth round or so. Well, why rush and get it on Thursday if you can get it later on?
Why don't I trade for Ayuk tomorrow?
You could also do that.
Would you do that?
I don't know if I would do that just given the fact that there's so many good receivers and like there's guys every single year that come out that are awesome. But it could elevate a team. And we saw the Eagles do that a couple years ago with A.J. Brown. They traded for him on draft day, and it all of a sudden elevated them to go into the Super Bowl. It helped out Jalen Hurts and his progression. So if you're a team that thinks that they're close and, hey, if we just add another receiver, we can go ahead and do this thing, maybe it's a team like the Chargers if they want to trade a future first-round pick or something a little bit later, a day 2 pick. But I think the Niners probably want a first-rounder if they're going to part ways with him. But if Ayuk isn't traded tomorrow or on Friday, I think he's still a 49er.
On top of this year being another loaded class of wide receivers, and I know that this narrative is out there now and it makes a lot of sense, it's going to be every year beyond this because kids coming up have wanted to play wide receiver for many years now.
100%.
And they've also gotten away from playing running back, I think realizing that the money's not going to be there. I wonder if eventually that flips on wide receivers. Because it's going to be the same thing as the running back position turned into.
I've thought that for like 4 or 5 years now.
I was like,
when does it actually flip to where the economics at the wide receiver position is like, hey, like, why do I need to pay a guy $30 million? I mean, Justin Jefferson is amazing, but why do I need to pay him $30, $32 million a year if I can go ahead, not to say you're going to find another Justin Jefferson 4 years later, but you can at least find a good player and pay them at the $8 million range on the rookie contract.
That's like, exactly
do they just recycle through guys? Because like you mentioned, the 7-on-7 camps and all these things, the passing game is so sophisticated now that these guys step right in and they immediately produce and play at a high level.
A couple of faraway places have Caleb Williams props, including primary color of his nail polish. Black was the favorite at plus 150 when they released these numbers, followed by orange at 2-1, white 5-1. There's a pink in there, a blue, and a green.
Is there no nail polish?
No, that's not an option.
What's the blue number?
Blue is 7-1.
Now, if it's navy blue, like Chicago Bear blue,
right?
I could see that.
He's going to wear some sort of Bears colors.
Has to be.
I wonder if it's going to be a combo of the three.
Like a blue-orange type?
It could be.
Orange makes sense at 2-1.
Yeah.
But blue, I feel like if it's like a navy blue, I think at 7-1, I think that's a solid price.
Will He Cry is 7-1. I think people are going to point to the loss against Washington and say he's a crier. Going to happen all the time. Who is he going to hug first? His mom, shortest shot, plus 125. Dad, plus 150. Girlfriend is 6-1. Agent 10-1.
Who's most likely to be sitting next to him?
Yeah, what's the setup there?
Yeah. Like, is it parents? Is he in between the parents or is the girlfriend to his left?
I always lean mom.
That's what I would lean.
Right?
Is the dog listed?
No. Actually, how many dogs will be showing during the broadcast? Over under is 2.
Can he take his dog? I mean, is he allowed to
sit on his lap? Why not?
Yeah.
Your best friend.
I've never seen a dog in the green room.
We're gonna start to see service animals, right? Caleb at the draft, and we can. This will be. Will we see a parakeet at the draft coming up?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, I brought Rooster. My gerbil to sure. the draft.
Right.
So a GM said he's a weird guy. It's the equivalent of Prince playing quarterback. Let's go to Lake Minnetonka. Here's some pancakes. Now, what do you think? That was the quote. Yeah, it's like Prince playing quarterback. He said.
I mean, that's a great Chappelle Show skit, but I think it's a Gen Z quarterback. And I think this is the new norm. To us, maybe it's, hey, he moves a little bit different and whatever. But, like, you know, if he's good, he's good. Who cares? Yeah. But I think this is just general manager going to have to get used to. This is kind of the new norm. And he's the first sort of, like, Gen Z guy. So he's not going to be what the past guys were like.
All right. So you've dialed back your bets this year just because of the info. How many do you have right now? Handful still or
no, couple? I can count it on one hand.
Can you?
I can count it on one hand, yeah. Okay. I just don't, like... The information is not good enough, at least this year compared to years past, for me to really want to dive into this thing. Just I want to kind of protect myself. So I wouldn't mind laying a -500/-600 if I can find out that Jaden Daniels is going too.
Oh, I would absolutely lay that,
like,
number.
That price
for sure.
It's -475 at DraftKings right now. Like, if I can figure that out, I'll lay it till kingdom come.
Well,
I just haven't figured it out yet.
I had that discussion with two people who I trust. They go, trust me, it's Daniels at 2. But they wouldn't give me the source or at least who it was.
Yeah.
But I said, okay. But
source,
still.
Just trust me, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Never wrong.
If he gave me something strong there, right? Yeah. You don't have to give me the name.
Exactly.
If he give me like the ballpark, does he work with the organ? He wouldn't give it up. So well, still, I bet it. But I would have.
I hope you cash your ticket.
Yeah. I would unleash hell if he gave me a name or gave me something good here. But, you know.
What price did you get?
But I understand. $1.50, $3. I kept laying the three. I cut it off at $3.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Femi, you also love to bet awards.
Yes.
Did you have Tyrese Maxey most improved in the NBA last night?
I had Maxey in some parlays. So
we're
good to go. Like, that was a good result for me yesterday. Six man tonight. That's a sweaty one.
Who do you need?
Naz Reid.
Same here.
Yeah.
Beginning of the year. It looked like the people who tracked this online, the voters who made their ballots publicly known, it was like a runaway with Naz Reid right away.
Mm-hmm.
It has since flipped.
Yes.
Malik Monk kind of caught him early on here anyway, but we find out tonight. I honestly, if I had to make a bet on it right now, I would have to pass on this. I have no idea who's going to win this award tonight.
Maybe I'm just a pessimist, but I have a bad feeling in my stomach.
What?
Do you really?
I think Monk might win.
No, the injury helped you.
So my theory with the NBA, it's different than the NFL, to where I think recency bias does not apply to NBA awards outside of maybe MVP. I think voters more often than not make up their minds
a little bit after the
All-Star break, especially with these awards that are sort of the secondary awards, like the ones that are announced this week, the most improved, the sixth man's, the clutch players. I think they more often than not make up their minds, and then they'll just justify it any which way they want to by the time the season ends. MVP, maybe you could get some recency bias. I mean, we saw it last year with the whole Jokic Embiid thing, but more often than not, I think these voters make up their minds, and I could see Monk he's a likable guy, and he was a volume scorer off the bench.
Do you have Dagnall coach of the year?
I do not. I'm going to lose on that one.
Yeah, I do
it's
not.
It's unfortunate.
I have Mosley. That's not going to be a winner.
Yeah.
Defensive player of the year. Did you ever get in on Wemby?
No, I did not. I bet some Gobert light at like 4-1 early in the season. So it'll be a small winner on that one. I think Gobert's going to win it running away, honestly.
I think that's the way it looks too.
Yeah.
For him. Anything else? MVP?
MVP. I have a little bit of Jokic. I'll lose on that because I was loaded up on Embiid early in the season when he was going off, and then the injury obviously disqualified him from winning.
All right. GM podcast is going to drop a little bit later on today. I thought Michael's rant on the Falcons. It was absolutely fantastic.
It's good stuff.
I mean, it was so good talking about really.
Bragging about this?
Yeah. You didn't want Belichick, fine. Yeah. But to talk about it openly now and make it known that he wasn't in your top three.
Three straight 7-win seasons.
Yep.
Hang the banner.
Yeah.
Thanks, Femi. It was great stuff.
Awesome. Good to be with you guys.
Appreciate it. There you go. Femi Bibbitt. New GM Shuffle coming up later on today as well with Michael Lombardi. Stay tuned. A numbers game is next. You can listen to VSiN.com.
The cat sat on the mat.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.